You know, it's interesting to think about what we worship, and worship is anything that we place in an ultimate position in our hearts and our lives. And so a lot of times, you know, we think about worshiping false gods and things like that. But, you know, really we can, in a real subtle way, we can actually worship our own marriages, and we can begin to kind of put our hope in our marriage and our spouse becoming the kind of person that we want them to become. And the way we can know this, whenever that's going on in our hearts, is because we get we just get wrecked when our marriage or our spouse doesn't work out the way we think it should. And so I just catch myself sometimes going, this is not what I want. And just having to replay, nope, my hope is not in Pam, it's not in my marriage, it's not in anything we're kind of creating. And the second that it is, then I will be devastated and disappointed repeatedly. And when I worship God alone, I can handle the bumps and the bruises and the disappointments of life and marriage. So just kind of an interesting thought. But hey, my name is John, this is my wife, Pam, and we're excited tonight just to share with you for a few minutes about expectations. And we were just laughing this week that it's only Wednesday, but already we've had expectations misses in finances, in sex, in parenting, and travel plans. We're only halfway there, so the week's still young. But just that, you know, it was really funny. This is what we're going to talk about this week. You never get past this topic. You don't clep out. You don't graduate from ever having to deal with expectations. It's just a really big deal, and it is for us. And so, if nothing else, it'll just be a really good kind of reminder for us. So,
yeah,
go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I said, really? He reminded me, okay, we're talking about expectations. And I was like, okay, Lord, that's pretty funny, you know, of all weeks, just to be reminded. I mean, just thank you, Lord, you know, just to be reminded just of the importance of just understanding where each other's coming from. And so just talking about expectations, and, you know, expectations are just beliefs about the way something should be or you think it will be, you know, including your behaviors, roles, everything from little to big. I mean, you have these expectations about what your marriage will look like as a whole, and then you have expectations about what you're going to do when you get home tonight. So just knowing that there are expectations about everything, about what dinner looks like, about when you'll watch the Olympics, about where your next vacation will be, about what you're going to do when you retire. I mean, little and big. Probably is the single most biggest thing that causes conflict in most marriages. I know that's probably the case for us. It's just unmet disagreements, unspoken, you know, expectations, and just the source of those. So just tonight, just wanted to share with you a few little things kind of to help y'all have that more on your radar. Like, hey, this was an expectation and I didn't even realize. And so just kind of some ideas of problems in that, and then just to kind of give you some solutions and help you guys and remind us just about how to move forward to be on the same page, or at least to be, even if we're not, to be moving toward understanding and oneness in the area of expectations.
Yeah, and so, you know, expectations are really interesting. When they're not met, we have a reaction kind of to them. And so sometimes it can start out and just be kind of sadness or disappointment. It can be kind of mild reactions. It can also be frustration or just downright anger. And so that can happen in any situation, but it can also happen just kind of over time in our marriage. And so a lot of times we'll watch couples kind of like at year seven, they've moved through that whole continuum, right? You know, sadness, frustration, disappointment, and how they're just flat out just angry about it. Because at year two, they woke up and they're like, really? Like, I thought I married someone different. Surely this is not the case. And over time, they're going to change, and they're going to be the kind of person that I thought they were when I married them. Like, that, surely that's coming, right? And then at year seven, they've kind of lost hope and like, dang it, like, I'm stuck with this. What am I going to do, right? And now they're angry. And all of us at some level have experienced that, right? We've all woken up at some night, rolled over, and go like, really? Like, did I not have a better option? Or, you know, like, how did this happen? We've all had that. We don't have to pretend like that's not the case. But, and so how we deal with that and how we handle those expectations has everything to do with what happens from there, okay? Not uncommon, but what you do with that could make your marriage exceptional and life-giving, okay? One of the anchoring verses for this is Proverbs 13:2. 2, Proverbs 13:12. A hope deferred makes a heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And so we all know that when there's something that we wanted, we didn't get it, how we feel. And so that happens all the time in marriage. And we've got to be attuned to it. We've got to be aware so that we can begin to kind of communicate. And a lot of this stuff is just going to be kind of understanding our own heart what's going on and being able to communicate that in our own marriage. And so one of the first things that's really important to know is, where do these expectations come from? Where do we get these expectations in our marriage? And a lot of times they will come from family of origin. Right? Whatever you saw in your family, either positive or negative, you're going to bring over into your marriage. And so I could sit up here all night long and tell you just really funny little things about our marriage. I mean, if the first time Pam and I put sheets on a bed, I'm standing on one corner and she goes to the opposite corner. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know, I'm putting on sheets. This is the right way. No, you don't put sheets on a bed that way. You start at one end and you move to the other end. Clearly, that's how you do it. You know, that's how she had seen it. And so we worked through that. It's not a big issue, but we laughed. We laughed there. But one of my favorites was I was in grad school and we lived in a little house. And so big, large hallway. And as we were, I'm just kind of an absent-minded professor sometimes when I'm focused. And so, but I vaguely remember this box just kind of sitting in the hallway. And I thought, man, that's interesting. I didn't even think anything about it. Well, like the next day there was another box and the next day another box and another box, you know? And so finally, like I figured out, like there, you know, I turned to Pam, I was like, hey, what gives? What are all these boxes doing in the hallway? You know, like, where do these things go? And she looked at me, I mean, like straight faced, she wasn't being funny. She goes, they go in the attic and I'm just waiting for you to put them up in there. And I just thought, like, what are you talking about? There was a little attic that you could crawl and pull down, you know? And she was like, yeah. She's like, growing up, my dad, anytime you wanted anything, you know, up or down out of the attic, we just put stuff there and he would, you know, it was like Santa's little elves. They would just magically carry stuff up. My house, if you wanted something out of the attic, you got it. And doggone it, you better put it back where it came from. My mom and dad were not going up in the attic. That was our job. And so family, it's funny on those little things. And then it becomes real telling in how we love each other, how we spend time together, how we spend our money, how we parent, all those kind of things, because we bring our expectations from our family of origin. It's really, really, really important just to realize where those came from. Attics and sheets, those are small things, but there's some other big things that will come from family of origin. So our friends, a lot of times, will have a lot to say with what we think our expectations are, whether they're realistic, where they come from, all those kind of things. Media, I think a lot more than we care to realize, we're impacted by what we watch on TV, what we listen to. A lot of us sexually haven't been informed from the scriptures. We've been informed from the adult industry, and we bring those expectations over into our marriage. So it's really important as we start out to remember where our expectations kind of came from.
Yeah, so. I think another one that's key is just other relationships. So, you know, a hurtful past relationship, you've got that in the back of your mind. And so there's just bringing that into just the expectation of, hey, I'm probably going to get let down. Mm-hmm. Probably trust is going to be broken because it was back there. And so just being aware of where they come from and that they do come from lots of different places, just being aware of that's really important. So let's look at three key problems about expectations. And just kind of, if you have something to jot these down, they've been so helpful for me through the years. There's just three key problems, and then we'll kind of talk about three ways to kind of fix those and look at those a different way. The first way is you can just be unaware of expectations. You know, you've probably been in the situation, I know I have, John and I both have talked about this, where you're in a situation, all of a sudden you're just frustrated and angry. You're like, why am I just ticked off all of a sudden? And if you think about it, there's an unmet expectation there. Something didn't play out the way you thought it would, but you really weren't even aware of it at the time. So just becoming, or just not being aware that you even had an expectation about something is a problem.
Yep. And a second one is that our expectations are unreasonable. And a lot of times if we'll think about it, what we expected our spouse, what we expected of our marriage was completely unreasonable, but when it wasn't met, we got frustrated, right? So classically, you know, women think that marriage is going to be one long conversation, and guys think that, you know, marriage is going to be one long sexual conquest. And everybody's going, man, you know, what happened? And that's just unrealistic, right? It's unrealistic, some of the things we want our spouse. Some of the things I want Pam to be, I get so spun up on rather than just appreciating who she is, and the things I want from her are completely unrealistic. One human being can't possibly be all those things. And so if I have unrealistic expectations, I will continually be frustrated and disappointed and angry.
Yeah, and then the third one is that they're just unspoken. So you may have, maybe you're aware, maybe they are reasonable, but if you haven't spoken those, your spouse doesn't know. John can't read my mind. I can't read his mind. I don't know. I mean, you know more. As, 17 years of marriage, some of y'all longer. I mean, you know more as you get to know them, probably what they want to do on a Friday evening, how they want to spend the money or do this. But you don't always know kind of what they're thinking. And so just even ones that are just unspoken, and then all of a sudden, again, you're just frustrated or hurt or angry, and nobody said anything. So he didn't know. I didn't know, just because they were unspoken.
Yeah, that's good. So kind of the better way, and we'll move through these, and we've got a few other thoughts to close, but it's just the opposite of those, not complicated. But number one is just to kind of be aware of where what's going on, right? What are these expectations? So next time you get frustrated, just ask, man, did I have an expectation that wasn't met? Right? And so last night, like, I was really hoping that our kids would go to bed early. it did not happen. It did not happen. And so, but because women's gymnastics was on and Pam is like, yeah, we're staying up, you know? So now it's 11:45 and I've got stuff to do. And all of a sudden I'm just kind of agitated. And I was like, what in the world? Oh, okay. That's why. Because I just wasn't even aware that I kind of had this, I'd planned, you know, things later that night. And so just kind of go, okay. And now I know what's going on there. I will live. I will get a, you know, I could, the sun will come up tomorrow. You'll be okay, and let's move on. But just being just kind of aware of where those things is really important. And sometimes we don't know, like Pam said, until those things are kind of triggered.
And so the next one, just to be reasonable about what you expect. And so just really looking back sometimes and going, okay, is what I expect of John even possible from anyone except Jesus? You know, I mean, like he's pretty amazing, but like I know he's not perfect. I mean, if I looked at that and go, I'm married to a sinner, he's married to a sinner, just is what I'm thinking even reasonable? And so just being enough just self-aware about what you're thinking, just to realize that maybe this isn't reasonable for a human, for a sinner, to meet these expectations.
That's good. And so the last one is just to be clear, or just to speak kind of what your expectations are. And so, you know, for us, it was like Groundhog Day every Saturday, because we had, you know, both tracked through the week with a different plan of kind of, you know, the weekend, and nobody had said anything. And so now comes Saturday and she's ready to execute her plan, I'm ready to execute mine, and just kind of the frustration would begin to come out. And so we just kind of learned, hey, we've got to back this thing up, and you know, it's just, we don't even think about it now. That's just part of what we do. But holidays a lot of times are a big one, or, you know, just any of the stuff that we're thinking in our mind that our spouse cannot read our mind. And so oftentimes we'll assign these really ill motives to them because they can't read our mind, right? Surely the only reason he didn't call me today at work was out of spite. He knew I wanted him to call me today, and he didn't. And the only logical explanation of that is he's just being spiteful, you know. Or I was hoping for, you know, something grilled out tonight, and she didn't. She picked up pizza. It's spite, you know. And you never communicated it, and so they had no way of meeting your expectation. And if you think about that, you'd be amazed at how oftentimes you get into trouble because you've just never articulated your expectations. Okay, so just, it's not hard to do, but it's hard to kind of the act of it's not that hard, but to kind of discipline ourselves to get to that place, to be aware, be reasonable, and speak them. It can be difficult, but the payoff is huge. So like Pam said, that's where a lot of just kind of frustration and anger will come from.
Yeah. So, yep. And so just a note on that, as John and I were talking about this afternoon, just to be careful in that as you are learning to speak your expectations, not to be demanding. And so now all of a sudden I'm going to tell you every expectation I have about everything and every minute of the day. So just again to realize this marriage is about two people. It's about moving toward oneness. It's about sacrificing. It's about maybe watching gymnastics tomorrow instead of last night. It's about, you know, just giving a little bit. And so anyway, just in that, as you learn to speak your expectations, being careful not to be demanding.
Yeah, that's good. So a couple other thoughts. As you sat here and you listened about expectations, I want to ask for a show of hands, because I know the answer. Every one of us, every single one of us thought about our spouse, right? And the ways they didn't meet our expectations. Everyone, you're lying if you say otherwise. And you know what they're thinking? The same about you. And you know what the biggest source of unmet expectations is for your spouse? It's you, right? For Pam, it's me. And so that's really helped me to go when I'm kind of wrapped around the axle, going, "Golly, why can't she do this?" Or why, you know, da, 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 to go, "Yeah, she's feeling the same way at times about me, right? I mean, she's got no other options. All the other stores are closed. If she wants deep, meaningful conversation about things that matter, that's supposed to happen through me. And if I shut if I flip the sign and say store's closed, she's got nowhere else to go." And I can disappoint her and not meet her expectations. So it's just helpful for me to remember that it's a two-sided coin on that deal. And I am Pam's biggest source of unmet expectations, and it's humbling, and it helps me move graciously towards her, and it'll help you as well. Okay. And then ultimately, just to know Psalm 73:25. This is such a great verse, 25 and 26. To remember that our hope is not in our spouse, mm-hmm. and our hope is not in our marriage. And so when it's clicking, when things are great, man, you know, the Bible says to rejoice in the wife of your youth. High five each other, have fun, okay? But if it's not going that way, life isn't over. You're not sunk. And Psalm 73:25 is just awesome. Let me just read it to us. For who am I, David says, for who am I, who do I have in heaven but you? And earth has nothing that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. If I have you, God, I'm good. I am good. Anything else is bonus. And it was wired up. God created marriage for it to be a blessing. Like, we're not supposed to just try to endure this thing. But when we're in times of endurance, it's not over. And God is to be our portion. And just to remember where our hope is. And when it was just good. I didn't clear it with you. But this week, I had some thoughts. Hey, we're going to connect such and such night, sexually, and those doggone Olympics, man, they are killing our sex life. And I was like, man, just all bent out of shape. And I go, like, really? Okay, it's a good thing to desire to have sex with your wife. That's a good thing. And for a couple to have sex is a good thing. But it doesn't happen. Life isn't over. And God needs to be enough. And We Olympics will be over. They can't be over soon enough. They'll be over, and we'll be all right. What is the date? Anybody know? I'm putting it on my calendar. Okay, but God's our hope. God is our hope, and your spouse will disappoint you, right? Pam and I disappoint each other, we miss our expectations. God doesn't. And we'll be full. He is our portion if we put our hope in Him. So, any other thoughts about communication or maybe about expectations?
No, just love that verse, just to be reminded, and just encourage y'all to just meditate on that tonight. Before you go to bed, open up your Bible and read Psalm 23. We both said it wrong, but 73. Psalm 73, 25. And just be reminded that when everything else is bleak, that we have the Lord.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, I want to just, before we get out of here tonight, I want to just kind of remind us of a few things. Okay, so I just switched gears, didn't hit the clutch, and we're on to something else right now. Okay, so just stay with me. Which is a horror. Like, you never do that in communication. You never talk about two things. I was thinking in seminary. I preached kind of my last sermon, and my seminary professor looked at me. It was me and another guy, and he gave us this diatribe about how some guys will just always be average communicators from here on out, just to he and I. I think he was ticked off because I used my senior sermon to talk about nocturnal emissions out of Leviticus, and so he didn't think that was very funny. All my friends were rolling. I think that's what that was about. I don't think he was telling me that I was a bad communicator, but you should never talk about two things in one time, but I'm going to, okay? So just to call us back, and I'm not getting on anybody here. This is like coach. They said Bill Parcells that the second he stopped yelling at you was the second that he stopped caring. And so I'm not yelling at anybody, but I just want to remind us of why we're here, what we're doing, because I care about you, okay? So just kind of a coach talk. So just, we talked about this in leaders meeting, like what are some things that we need to remind our people to do? And so here's kind of seven things, okay? And they all go into the whole category of being all in, going all in of this experience and re-engage. And the first one is, guys, do your homework, right? And some of you guys are not doing your homework. Do it. And don't do it in the car on the way here, right? And just go, what do you have? And swerve all over the road. And like, this is what we're going to say if we're asked. Do it early, right? Do it often. Talk about it. And take advantage of that. What you do in between the Wednesdays is incredibly important, okay? Another one is to look for what God wants to teach you through others. And it's really, I'm surprised how little this happens. But occasionally we'll hear, you know what, I just don't like the people in my group, or I don't connect with them, or they're not adding that much value, all those kind of things. And which is a really arrogant thing to say, if you think about it. And our posture needs to be that we need to learn from everybody in our group, right? And so for some of us, that's going to be a little more difficult, but I think that might be what God's up to here, is the interactions with other folks in our group, and just looking for God to be able to teach us through them, and to kind of humble ourselves. And just listen and learn, okay? But take advantage of those in your group. A third one is just to be honest, right? Be honest. Don't wait. We hear this all the time. People wait until lesson 15 or 16 to go, yeah, here's really the deal, and we should have told you earlier, but we're going to tell you now, okay? We'll listen at lesson 15 or 16, but bring that out. Bring that stuff out now. Okay? If you want like an easy way to know what is that one thing, what's the one thing you don't want someone to ask you about, right? March right into your group tonight and say, here's the one thing I was hoping you wouldn't ask me, so I didn't have to tell you. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you now, okay? Get it out of your system. Get over the stage fright, and know what you will watch. No one will get up and run out of the room, right? And no one will wag their finger at you. But because some of us aren't being honest, we're not experiencing all the goodness that God has for us and experiencing some of the grace, okay? A fourth one is not to wait for our spouse to change. And some of us are just kind of arms crossed and going, hey, I'm going to get with this as soon as they get their stuff together. Somebody has got to go first. Let that be you. You draw a circle around yourself and you fix everyone inside it. Okay? Give yourself fully to fixing you. Don't wait for them. You start on you and you work diligently. Okay? Odds are they'll come along, but even if not, you control the one thing you have control over. Okay? Don't wait for them. Five, men, initiate. Okay? Lead. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't need to know your Bible backwards and forwards, but you do need to initiate. Don't stick your head in the sand, or don't intimidate and yell and scream. Initiate through the issues, okay? Women, let your men initiate. Don't remind him of all the ways he's failed in the past. Celebrate when he does initiate, okay? Six, man, just encourage your spouse. Well, you should be your spouse's biggest cheerleader. And when they're taking small steps, they're not giant leaps, but small little steps, you cheer them on. And you let them know, you notice the hard work, the change, what's going on, and you appreciate it. And you're glad to be married to him, okay? You be your spouse's biggest cheerleader. Don't remind him of a gap that exists between what is and what should be, and how much further they have to go. You remind him often about how encouraged you are about the little things that they've done, okay? And then seven, just to know that our hope is not in re-engage. It's not in these 16 little lessons, this experience that happens every week. Our hope is in Christ. And so if we get through the end of re-engage and we're not ready to write marriage books and kind of go on the speaking circuit and do conferences and just kind of do victory laps out there, look how awesome we are, okay? It's not over. It's not over, right? This, for many of us, this is just going to be the beginning, and we hear that story all the time. So don't be discouraged if you're kind of starting to land the plane in your group and you go, man, we've got so much more to go. That's okay. All right, man, rejoice that you've stuck this thing out, you've invested. You should be encouraged, okay? And but this is not the end of all that. So, any other thoughts on that? Okay, yes. Good. So, I'm for you. I'm not getting on your case. I just want you guys to, when you get done, to go, we gave it all we had, man. And I've had a few people say, yeah, I tried re-engage. And I'd say, well, yeah, you showed up sometimes, But you didn't really give yourself to the process. So let's don't. I don't want you to kid yourself or give yourself a false sense that you tried when you could have done much more. I want you at the end to go, we gave all we had, man. And there's still some pain and some hurt, but we really tried. We gave ourselves to the process, and we feel really solid about what we did. That's what I want for you. Okay? Awesome.
Yeah, I hope you hear that, like, we're for you, that John, more than just about anybody else I know, can tell you the truth, but then at the end, just know that he is for you. Like, he is for your marriage, for your good and for God's glory. And so that's just exhortation from just to step it up and just to get all that God wants for you out of reengage and just being in community and being in his word.
Yep, all applies to us as well.